Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon and welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Sheraton Crescent Hotel today. And I have had the great privilege of broadcasting and interviewing folks with District 3 Toastmasters. We're at the Spring Conference, and I believe the theme today is Blazing to Success. Mm-hmm. And I am fortunate to spend the next couple of minutes with two gentlemen who have been Toastmaster members for not too long compared to some of the guests that I've had earlier. Some folks have been on with us today that say they've been part of Toastmasters for 30, 25, 20 years. But today I'd like to introduce you to the father and son team, Randy and Kevin Tudor, and fairly new to Toastmasters considering the longevity of some of these other guests. Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio.
Well, thanks. Happy to be here. Thanks for letting us interview with you.
Yeah, thank you very much for the opportunity.
I'm thrilled. Yeah, thrilled to have you both. And so how long have you been members of Toastmaster? I understand through Randy you both started about the same time.
We started the same day, going January of 2017. We showed up for our first Toastmaster meeting. I was 63 years old. I waited way too long to get started, and I encouraged Kevin to come with me. We talked about it for a couple of years and just never found the time, and we finally strolled in, and once we strolled in one meeting, we knew we wanted to come back.
Yeah, one club. We didn't even have to go to multiple clubs. We went to one meeting, saw what Toastmasters can do for people, for the club members, and we said we need to be a part of this, and we haven't looked back since then.
I love that, and that's the same similar story that I hear from members, those folks who have been to the studio with me for interviews, but even today, the new friends and faces that I've met, it becomes just part of who you are, does it not? And take me back to, you had mentioned, Randy, that you had considered it for a period of time. Both of you had talked about it before. What was the impetus? What was the desire to be part of Toastmasters? Let's talk about that piece first. Why did you think that it might be a good fit?
Well, I think a lot of people share the same initial reason for coming in, and that's most simply to become a better public speaker. That's the headline, right, of Toastmasters is I want to come in it to be a better public speaker. And we do, within our work, we work together, and we do presentations and things like that in front of small groups and large groups, and we wanted to be very comfortable with doing that. And that was something that was really our major driver in the beginning for joining. And really, within a month or so, we came to find out it's about so much more than just public speaking. And I think those are the great rewards when you meet the people and you find out about the leadership opportunities. And it's just, there's a lot more opportunity beyond just public speaking. But that, for me, is really what brought me there in the beginning.
And we were fortunate to get out of the club in our first month and go to a contest. And we started meeting people and talking to people and seeing what goes on beyond the club. So many members seem to not take too long to get to that point. We were fortunate that we got to do that right away. And we went out and learned what was going on in District 3 and that we could be a part of that. And we just jumped in with both feet. Both of us did at the same time.
I love it. And now running for offices.
Yep. We've done every step of the way we've kind of done together. And either one of us is the leader on that and says, well, I think I might do this. Do you want to join me? And we go, you know what? Yeah, we already work together. We spend days together. We might as well do this together too. And it's just been every step of the way that we've taken is always, it always pushes your comfort zone, right? And then once you push one comfort zone, you're
ready for the next, aren't you?
Ready for the next, exactly.
Yeah.
We've been fortunate. I think we both feel fortunate to have been able to take those steps together.
And like Kevin says, you come into it thinking one thing, but we ended up just seeing how much it gives to us, how much it's contributed to our weeks and our year and 4 months. And it's just amazing. And we want to be a part of that, continuing to get the word out to people. And that's why we're both involved in leadership with District 3.
I have so many questions based on what you're sharing, but I want to go back to your very first comment, Randy, was around how you had it was on your to-do list for quite some time. You finally made the commitment. Kevin spoke to, you know, kind of why it was important. Tell me about the excuses that you came up with that kept you from joining or even showing up at a meeting, because I think that's really an important conversation. I'm a perfect example of that. My current story or excuses that I'm in startup mode with a studio and I'm working 60, 70 hours a week. That is not a joke. That's legit. I have a 10-year-old at home still. But Toastmasters has been on my list of things to do that other professional speakers have encouraged me to do over the years. And I always thought, well, yeah, you know, maybe when I slow down, I'll put out. And I've been very blessed to be kind of on the peripheral with Toastmasters this year because we've had so many great guests come to the studio. And being here this weekend, it's the same thing. I'm like, why? What? My excuse is that I'm too busy. And here's the other one, which I know is not the case, that I already know how to be a great public speaker and a really great listener. Sure, I could probably justify saying that given my profession, but there's always room to grow. So I hope I haven't already answered in how it felt like for you. But let's talk about the excuses piece. What was the reason for you having to take so long to get to be part of this great program?
Well, as far as our excuses go, for 2 years, we knew which club we would check out. We knew the location and we said, that's the one. And then we would say, it's a Thursday noon club. So we would say, we'll go Thursday. So it might be Friday of a week and we say, we'll go Thursday. Then Wednesday comes, we're busy, like you're saying, thousand things to do. And we just say, well, maybe next week. And we just kept doing that. Then you kind of forget about it for a while. Then we would check into it again. And we would still try to go Thursday, but the same thing would happen. And that went on for a good 2 years at least, wouldn't you say?
Oh, at least, yeah. Yeah, and it's not just where you say, oh, I have work to do. Or once you get past that hurdle and you say, okay, I've cleared my schedule, it's available, you come up with the other excuses. I'm tired. I don't feel very good. You kind of make up some of those excuses. Yeah. The first or even the second meeting you go to before you actually take the step and go. There's just excuse after excuse not to go. And really the minute you take that first step of going to the first meeting is when, at least I know for me, I think for you as well, and for a lot of members, that's when those excuses start to go away and you say, it's no longer about making excuses, it's what can I do to make this meeting every week from now on.
And in your case and so many others, what can I do to make this meeting every week and how can I serve?
Right, exactly.
That seems to be the theme throughout my conversations is this is not about, we go thinking we're going to receive mm-hmm. and we're going to gain, which of course we do, but more and more I hear from everybody that this is an opportunity to give and to be of service and to help lift each other up.
Exactly. It's incredible the supportive network you build out there, and it helps in business. I can tell you, we never expected to get clientele from joining Toastmasters. That was not even on our radar, but we have. We've had a lot of people who have just gained trust in us, and we do business with them, and it turns out to be a great networking process as well, but that's not what we intended at all. And it's just the friendships and the relationships that we've built will last a lifetime.
Speak to me about your business. You both said that you're in business together. Let's talk a little bit about what you do outside of Toastmasters.
Well, we run a tax and accounting business. My dad, Randy, has been in the business since,
1983.
Since 1983. And I joined the business after I graduated college. I graduated with a finance degree at ASU. And I joined the business around 2010. And we've been working ever since then together doing that. And we also run a self-investment company where we provide investment research and education for individuals. We run weekly investment webinars every Tuesday. That's a subsidiary of our main tax and accounting business.
Love that. So it's this education piece that's so important, I would imagine, with the industry and the people that you serve.
Right. Exactly. I've always had my own accounting practice, and I've dealt with clients. And the thing that drives me the most is just serving them, getting to know them, and really trying to help them. And Toastmasters just brought that together in one quick, complete package that I could see that we can really give to the community, we can really give to each other and help support each other, and again, take that experience and use that with our clients as far as relating with clients, talking with clients, and it's made it that much easier.
Yeah, I think Toastmasters has helped a lot with our ability to explain some difficult concepts sometimes to clients, because we deal with things sometimes that other people don't want to think about, their taxes, their finances, things they don't want to understand necessarily. I think it's helped us to clearly, efficiently explain some things to clients, have some better communications with them. Would you agree?
I agree.
With that? Yeah. It's just the sort of thing where it feels like as soon as we stepped in, it's like, where was this all of our lives? Or it was just a natural.
And why did it take us so long?
Right.
Especially
for you. I know you're
right?
Saying that.
Randy said that before we were on air. He's like, would you say 60?
I'm 64 now, but I was 63.
Yeah. And you've been familiar with Toastmasters at least for a handful of years before.
Well, I knew about it 30 years ago, and I just ignored it.
Yeah.
I didn't do anything about it.
Yeah. Well, it's a fascinating conversation with everybody we've had on board. The both the personal gifts and the professional gifts that come as a result of being a Toastmaster, the friendships, the networking, which you said was kind of a byproduct. You hadn't come into it expecting that you would have clients as an end result of it. How important is the listening piece as it relates to Toastmasters and then transferring over into business? Is that important?
Absolutely, yeah. One of the ways that Toastmasters has really improved, I know for myself, and I know I speak for hundreds of other members that I've talked to in the state, one of the ways that it really improves that is the evaluation skills that we gain within Toastmasters. We get 2 to 3 minutes to evaluate a speech on a given week. And in order to effectively do that, you need to be able to listen to every detail of that speech. And sometimes when you're listening to something, maybe your mind glazes over just throughout the course of the day. And that sort of skill has allowed us to really focus on what other people are saying. Not that we didn't do that before, but it's definitely a skill that's been, a muscle that's been strengthened by doing that. And of course, that converts over to what we do, not only in our business, in listening to our clients' needs and concerns, but just in our personal dealings as well.
And so much of communicating is listening. And really, you know, they always say that you were given 2 ears and 1 mouth. So you should be listening at least twice as much as you're speaking. And Toastmasters, you wouldn't think that that's what it was teaching you. But it does. It shows you how important the listening part is and the understanding of what people have to say. And that's another thing that I think is amazing with Toastmasters is how quickly people bond, complete strangers, by telling their stories. It gives them an opportunity to share stories that maybe nobody else is listening to. And just being a part of that and listening to them is a great bonding process. And I really am impressed by that.
We listen for the commonalities, right? When someone's speaking and sharing a story, we find ourselves in them somehow, and that does bring us close together. And when you're in a club and week after week you're spending time with each other in this feedback loop, listening, sharing, being the speaker yourself, I would imagine that you become very close very quickly.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Some of the subjects that come up are just things that don't come up with your coworkers or your friends at happy hour. We've said before, it's like a weekly group therapy sometimes.
No one has said that yet, but that makes sense because of how quickly you have to think on your feet and speak from the heart.
Exactly.
It really is, and people tell deeply personal. We've heard in this contest season, we've heard 3 people give their speech on how close they were to committing suicide, to taking their own life. And they attribute some of what they went through in Toastmasters as saving them from that. And so it's incredible how deep some of this goes. And we get to share that with people that they said they really haven't shared that story with the people that are closest to them. But again, it's such a quick bonding process. That's probably the single most important thing to me that I've seen from Toastmasters is how quickly you trust each other. If it's, you know, it needs to be a good club, but most of the clubs I've visited, and I've seen many, they have that closeness, that connection, and it's incredible to me.
And every club is different. There's what, just because one club is right for me doesn't mean it's going to be the right club for you. There's different personalities with every club, and that's that. I mean, we're just bragging about Toastmasters here, but that's one of the amazing things about it, is that there is a club for every personality, and we've really seen that. As in our year of leadership here, we've been fortunate to be able to go to many different clubs. We serve different areas, so I get to go into the downtown Phoenix area. You, Randy, get to go into the East Scottsdale area. And we see all over the state, and there are just different personalities everywhere, and different fits, and different types of people and dynamics. And it's just been, it's amazing to see the lives that really, it sounds like a cliche, but the lives that have changed over the course of a year or shorter in the Toastmasters experience.
Tell me, is this the first conference that you two have attended, or have you been to conferences previously?
It's the first spring conference, but we were at the fall conference this past.
Flagstaff, I think they had mentioned.
Yeah.
And I also heard, I think Enid shared with me, that it's been a decision that it's just going to be a once-a-year thing going forward.
Right.
So spring conference it is. So when you anticipate coming this weekend for the spring conference, having had the Flagstaff experience in the fall, what did you look forward to most, and what are you experiencing while you're here?
Well, number one, I started looking forward to it the day we left Flagstaff.
Oh, love
so
hearing
I
that.
Really did. I was excited to do it again in 6 months, and I literally counted down the months in my mind. The thing that attracted me and made me want to come back is the whole idea of the bonding and the people that you see, and those relationships just continue. And then as you bump into people in the clubs or even outside of Toastmasters, you bump into some of these people and you still have that connection. And it's been, that's why I wanted to go back, and that's why I keep going to contests and things, because of that whole camaraderie bonding that we don't get as self-employed people. You know, we work in a very small business. We're not in the corporate world anymore. And so we don't have that camaraderie. And Toastmasters has really opened that up for us.
Yeah, it's really all about the people when we come to these conferences. It's nice getting awards and things like that as well. But that's very low on the list when you talk about just the people and the familiar faces. And even as we're talking here, people walking by and waving friendly faces,
yeah.
And that's a great thing to have, you know, that just to be, we know more people we were talking about this on our way in yesterday, we know more people now than we did at the Flagstaff conference in the fall, and that's a great feeling to be able to walk around and be able to talk with and have a conversation with the majority of people in here, and a lot of them have become good friends, and that's really the thing that I think a lot of people here look forward to the most when it comes to these conferences or contests or anything like that, when it comes to these events.
So the theme here is caring for each other, building relationships which have come quite naturally, and improving, obviously, your personal and professional ability to speak, listen, communicate, and in your case, raise the vibration as professionals as well, doing an even better job at what you're doing as you serve your clients and offer these workshops and webinars. Well, kudos and congratulations to both of you. Do you have, before we close our segment together, a tip or a little success secret that you might offer a new Toastmaster member?
I like to say, when we come into Toastmasters, every single one of us, and I know we've kind of said it before, but we kind of come in for our own reasons. We want to become a better speaker. We want to be better at networking. It's me, me, me kind of when you step that first day into a Toastmasters meeting. And that has nothing to do with what the greatest rewards are, because the greatest rewards from being a Toastmaster, and especially as you get into leadership, is being able to bring the positive experiences that we're sitting here talking to you about, being able to bring that to other members. And when I know both of us have had individual members say, you've made a positive difference in my year, or it's because of you that I'm at this meeting, or something like that.
It's going to feel great.
that's the best feeling. Better than if you give a good speech and you get accomplishment for that. That's nice, of course. But the greatest feeling is when other people come up to you and say, you made a difference. And that's really the greatest reward and unexpected, I think, reward for Toastmaster members.
And the point that I make to people is you really need to get outside of the club, because what you experience giving speeches, doing evaluations, and performing the other functionary roles that's included in Toastmasters, you only get about 10% of what's available to you in the total Toastmasters package. Even if you don't get involved in leadership, just getting out and getting to volunteer for some of the other committees and some of the other things that are going on, it's all rewarding you. All that you give, it's just nothing compared to what you get back from that. I mean, we try to give, and give, and we just keep getting back more and more and more from it, from personal satisfaction. And like Kevin said, having people tell us that we made a difference. We always, in our business life, we love that. We want our clients to say that. But it's become even more important to have people who were strangers not too long ago tell us that we've made a tremendous difference in their life, or that you take people that were too nervous to talk within the club, and by watching you come in and get started, they were encouraged to do that. And then we just keep encouraging each other. They encourage us, we encourage them, and everybody keeps building and growing.
It's very reciprocal.
Right.
Very synergistic. It's interesting. I've had this sense and this feeling each time I've talked to Toastmasters, again, twice in the studio with a different set of people, and then, of course, several people today. What you've just both shared makes me think that Toastmasters is the microcosm of the macrocosm. Toastmasters is a perfect example, a small example of how I believe we should be in life. I don't usually like to use the word should, but when we step out of our comfort zone and we give first and we put our own needs aside and we're willing to serve and volunteer, much like in life, Toastmasters is this microcosm of how I think my life and my legacy is meant to be lived. So thank you for sharing those last little sweet spots, because I hadn't been able to articulate that previously, but I've always felt like that when I've been around Toastmasters.
That's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
Well, thank you for spending time with us for this segment. I know you've got a busy day ahead. In fact, I think not too long from now, you'll be sharing a little bit around your campaign and how you hope to continue to serve the community. And I do want to open an invitation for both of you to come to the studio at some point and do a longer conversation and shift gears a little bit. Let's talk about your business and help put the good word out about what you're doing on behalf of business owners and individuals.
We'd love to take you up on that.
Good. I look forward to it.
Thank you.
You
Karen.
Bet. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.